to hear God's word. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And then verse 17, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. In Hebrews 11 verse 7 we read, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Dear congregation, the Lord is looking on this world. As he did in Noah's day, so he is at this present time. He's looking down on this country. He sees all. He knows all. He's looking down on this country at this very moment. What does he think? How we have gone downhill as a nation. We're thankful for modern science. We're thankful for other things as our freedom. But oh, how we have gone downhill as a nation. We've seen chapels and churches close. So many are not interested in the gospel. So many do not delight in Jesus Christ. How we have turned our back upon God and his word. Rightly so, God is angry. And one day he will judge the world. And he will judge this nation. However, as he was in Noah's day, so today he is long-suffering. Why has not the judgment yet come? The judgment we will consider tonight in the Word of God. Why has it not yet come? Well, because God is long-suffering. And still there is time. Still there is hope in the Gospel. God is long-suffering. Now we read in 1 Peter 3 verse 20 these words, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. And as we think of that time, God was long-suffering. But God is still a God who is long-suffering with this world, with this nation, and with sinners. Well, tonight we continue to look at these beholds in Scripture. And as we do so, we come to consider this time in the days of Noah, and the ark that was prepared, and the flood that came upon the earth. Well, three brief points tonight as we consider these verses here before us. Firstly, the examination of God. Secondly, the judgment of God. And then thirdly, the mercy of God. The examination of God, the judgment of God, and the mercy of God. First of all, the examination of God. In verse 12 we read this, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God looked. He looked upon this world. He looked upon the earth. And what did he behold? Well, we read in verse 12 that it was corrupt. At the root of the Hebrew word, which is translated here as corrupt, it speaks of to decay. Some of you may have a tooth that decays. It's not good anymore. The tooth decays. Another word which we can use is ruin or destroy. It's corrupt. In these modern days with computers, you can have a corrupt file or a corrupt drive. It's gone wrong. It's ruined and there's nothing you can do. We have here then this word corrupt. Well, God looked upon the earth and behold, it was corrupt. The earth here is put for the inhabitants. He's looking particularly upon mankind. They were corrupt. Now in verse 11 we read this. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. The word violence. Again, the Hebrew word speaks of cruelty, violence, the wrong. What a wicked generation it was. Think of our own country. Think of the violence taking place, the cruelty. You see the similarities. Now we read in verse 12 this, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. either his own way, he walked in such a corrupt way, or rather, the ways of God he corrupted. It was the right way that man turned, rebelled, and corrupted God's ways. Such rebellion against God. Well, as we think of all this tonight, it leads us to consider sin and the wickedness upon earth. Well, God looked upon this world. Now go back to verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There were the thoughts in his heart, the purposes, the desires, the thoughts. And he fought evil. He desired evil. And such was the wickedness that he had such desires and thoughts and purposes. Evil continually, we're told, there in verse 5. There was such evil. What days Noah lived in. What days we are living. Wickedness is abounding. It wasn't easy when I was young. But how things have changed in 3 decades. What wickedness we see in this country. Now the Lord looked down upon this world. And God is looking down today. And God hasn't changed. We're thankful he's still a God of mercy. And as we shall consider tonight, he is still a God who is long-suffering. But let's remember, he is still a holy God. He hasn't changed. He's infinitely holy. He's always been infinitely holy. And he will continue to be infinitely holy. He who is infinitely holy, who hates sin, looks upon this world. He's looking on this world. He sees everything. In Zechariah 4 verse 10 we read, "For who have despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of the Zerubbabel. With these 7, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." They run to and fro, examining everything. And God's examining everything in this world. He notes everything that is taking place in this world tonight, today. He sees it all. Up in the sky you have satellites, or in space rather. And they look down and take note. Well, God looks down on everything. He sees the actions of all. There's no hiding place from God. Remember, Adam and Eve thought they could hide from God. Well, God knew where they were. And the Lord found them. When I was a young boy, I used to attend a youth meeting in Totham. In the summertime, we used to go out to a place called Deerleap, near Ashurst. And we would always play this game, hide and seek. And you know the leaders, they always knew where I was, because they came straight away and found me. I couldn't really hide. The Lord knows where everyone is. The Lord knows what they're doing. There's nowhere to hide. God knows. Proverbs 15 verse 3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." He sees it all. His knowledge is so great. The congregation, how small we are compared to God. He knows everything in eternity at this very moment. He knows everything about all people in this world. He knows everything about all creatures. His knowledge is so great. Psalm 147 verse 5, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." There's no bounds. Soon it will be autumn and the leaves will begin to fall. And there's so many leaves in the New Forest, isn't there? And we could think, well, there's such a number, such a great number. Well, there is a set number. The Lord knows. He knows the number of the leaves that will fall down here in the New Forest. But when we consider God, there's no bounds. He's infinite. What a God he is. What a God we have come to tonight. How great he is. And he looks down upon all. He knows all. Now in Habakkuk 1 verse 13 we read, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously?" Now when we come to that verse, and we note the latter part of the verse, we consider God is working his purposes out for our good. But just note the beginning of the verse, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. He hates sin. What's the meaning here? He does not look on in delight. He does not see sin as a thing indifferent. He's not neutral on it. He does not regard it as a thing not mattering either way. No, he hates sin. He hates the wickedness. He does not look on in delight. Thou art a purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. He hates sin, and he's looking down. He's looking down on this nation. And there's so much rebellion against God. There's so much immoral behaviour. There's so much lying and stealing. There's so much adultery. There's so much violence. There's so much cruelty in this nation. I was reading an article yesterday. Did you know slavery is taking place in every city of this country? Yet we thought we abolished the slave trade. William Wilberforce. But slavery, modern day slavery, is happening in Bournemouth, in Poole, in Southampton, in Salisbury, in every city, we're told, yesterday, of this country. There are those being kept as slaves. What a country we're in. We're meant to be sophisticated in the modern age. But we've got slavery in every city of this country. What violence, what cruelty. We've witnessed violence on our streets. In London, in Manchester, and other places. What violence we're seeing. And it's on the increase. People coming out and using cars as weapons today. These things didn't take place when I was young. It's getting worse, isn't it? It's not an easy day for the godly to live in. Yet, dear brethren, it is the day the Lord has placed us in. And we're to live like Noah, with faith in our hearts, and we're to serve him. But the Lord looks down, we're thinking of the examination of God. Well, let's consider a little further here. He looks on the hearts of individual men. Remember those words in 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. When I was a child, I was so glad that my parents did not see everything within. They could only see what I look like on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. There's no hiding. He examines the heart. What does he see within the hearts of men? Well, he makes that plain in Jeremiah 17 verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And dear brethren, who can know it? And even in us, where we have a new heart within, we still have indwelling sin. And it's not a pleasant thing, is it? What do you think about your sin? Is it pleasant? It's an evil, isn't it? As we see the psalmist describing his own sin. What did the apostle Paul speak? In Romans 7 verse 24, a wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? A wretched man that I am. I'm always saying the wrong things, thinking the wrong things. A wretched man. That's the apostle Paul, who was so godly, who knew so much of Christ, who was caught up to the first heaven and saw things most wonderful, yet he could speak of his own sin. And his sin within, O wretched man that I am. Oh, dear brethren, we want to be perfect, do we not? As we thought this morning, we mourn over our sin. We long to be perfect. Psalm 31 verse 10, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity. When the Lord looks on, what does he see in your heart tonight? Let's be honest with the Lord. The Lord looks on this world. The Lord looks on this nation. And he's looking on us now, and he's looking on your heart. What does he see? Does he see faith in your heart like Noah? Or does he see unbelief? Consider again, there's no hiding place. He sees all. He observes all. You trying to hide something from someone? You may hide something from someone in your family. You don't want to tell them. Somebody in the workplace. There's no hiding from God. Be sure of this, God knows. There's no hiding place. God looks on. Now just notice before we move on, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He wasn't a perfect man. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He knew that God was looking on him with grace. God had a special favour towards him. What about you? You know you're a sinner. But can you say tonight, I have found grace in the eyes of the Lord? I look to him and I know he showed me such special grace because he saved me. Have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? What a lovely word that is. What a contrast. So verse 12, God looked upon the earth and behold, it was corrupt for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God looked on. He looked on Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Just think tonight, God is looking at you. Can you say, I found grace in his eyes? Have I found love in his eyes? I know he loves me. I know he's shown such grace towards me. Think of John Newton, he'd done so much wrong. He was a slave trader. But he could write this, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. That saved a wretch like me. He knew the Lord saw his life. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, the Lord's looking on you. Can you look up to him by faith tonight and say, I have found grace in my eyes. Let's consider secondly tonight, the judgment of God. The judgment of God. Verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I will. No doubt about it. A flood came, and we have the evidence for it in the world, and the truth of it declared in the Word of God. God did bring a flood of water. Now come with me to verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Behold, behold, speaking to Noah, behold, consider it. All that men will consider that God will judge this world again, not with water, but with another judgment. Now turn over the page. Let's just consider the flood for a moment. Chapter 7. And verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. You think there, the fountains of the deep, there were vast reservoirs of subterraneous waters, vast reserves, rather, of subterraneous waters. And these opened up, and the rain came down, flood came. How we often moan about the rain. I wonder if you moaned about the rain this past week. After a warm start to the summer, it's rained much, hasn't it? But oh, what it was like in Noah's day. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And they were not just moaning, there was weeping. There was screaming. What misery. What a judgment it was. The rain came. The waters came up. The water increased so much that the mountains were covered. And there was no hope for any outside of the ark. Just come with me to chapter 7 and verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth. both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. There was no hope. Man had rebelled against God. Because of sin, the judgment came. But there was a judgment coming. And I would be an unfaithful minister if I did not warn about the judgment to come. We read earlier about that God would bring that judgment. Chapter 6, verse 13, I will destroy. He kept his word and he will keep his word. There is a day of judgment coming. What a day it will be. What a judgment of water, but a judgment of fire. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The day is coming. Many laugh at Noah and the flood. They didn't laugh when the rain came down. Many laugh that God will judge this world. They realize they are wrong when the judgment comes. There will be this judgment, which will be a purifying word. And after the fire, there will be a glorious rejuvenation. How wonderful it will be. What a freshness. There will be a new heavens and a new earth after the judgment. You know, up on the hill, from time to time, the heather is set alight. And it's burnt. But a few months later comes the fresh new heaven. Oh, what freshness there will be. What a wonderful world it will be. There'll be no sin. Creation will not be marred. But we need to consider there is a judgment of fire coming. There will be the end of sin on the earth. And creation that was marred because of man's sin will be burned, so that every last trace of the curse be removed. Genesis 3, verse 17 and 18. What a day it will be. God will not allow the wickedness to continue here upon earth forever. There will be an end of the violence. There will be an end of sin. The Lord will come. Are you ready? Matthew 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And so on. Are we ready for this great day? There'll be a judgment of fire. And then will come the great judgment, where we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. How can I be ready? You see, if I'm clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Thirdly and finally tonight, the mercy of God. And dear brethren, how wonderful is the mercy of God when we consider the news of judgment tonight. God is angry. God hates sin. God will judge. But he's a God of mercy. How wonderful is the mercy of God. Now just come with me to verse 14 of Genesis chapter 6. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. What a word of compassion that was. The Lord had warned and made known that he would destroy the world. But then there comes a word of mercy. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Many laugh at the ark. You can go out to America and you can see a replica of the ark. You can go inside the replica. It's an amazing boat. And some people I know have gone to visit it and been inside. What a mercy it was that there was an ark. Noah obeyed God's instructions. In Hebrews 11 verse 7 we read, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith. People laughed at Noah, but he looked to the Lord and he built that ark. What a mercy it was that an ark was built. Now for 120 years Noah preached. He preached. He warned men and women and he showed them the way of escape. In 2 Peter 2 verse 5, but save Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. He preached that which was right. He warned people and he showed them the way to be saved. See the mercy of God in raising up Noah. People despise preachers today. People despise missionaries. People despise Sunday school teachers. But what a mercy to have preachers in our land, to have missionaries and Sunday school teachers, godly parents. What a mercy it is that still the gospel is heard in this land. See the mercy of God here, that an ark was prepared and that Noah preached. What a mercy it is that there is a way of escape. And the gospel is heard in our land. That the word of God is freely available to everyone. And then consider further that God was long-suffering. And this follows his mercy. In 1 Peter 3 verse 20, which sometimes were disobedience, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing. What mercy! God waited 120 years, as we see from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. He brought news that he was going to destroy the world 120 years later. And he waited. What mercy! The judgment didn't come straight away, for God was long-suffering. Yes, the judgment came because God was just, but he was long-suffering. And God is long-suffering today. There is a fixed limit. One day the judgment will come, but consider tonight, God is long-suffering. And he's waiting. In his mercy, he causes the sun to shine on the godly and the ungodly. What a mercy. We're thankful, are we not, for the dry weather? Because it looks like the farmers will be able to get the harvest in. That speaks of the mercy of God towards them. And not every farmer is a Christian, are they? Many do not love the Lord. What mercy it is. Consider his mercy that he is long-suffering. The judgment has not come yet. He is long-suffering. He's waiting. There is still hope for this nation. There is still hope for sinners. The gospel is still heard tonight in our land. What a merciful God that the gospel has been preached again in this nation this evening. It may be the last Lord's Day. But all consider the long-sufferingness of God. There's still time. If you're without Christ, there's still time at this very moment. How many years have you not believed in Jesus? How long-suffering God is. There was once a man in America. I believe he was a farmer. He hated God. He despised God. He was converted around 100 years of age. And he came to faith. And the Lord gave him a number of years after that. And he made known Christ. How long-suffering God was to that farmer. Around 100 years, he did not believe. How long-suffering God is. There's a gospel church in the New Forest, here in this corner. It speaks of the long-suffering of God. He's a God of mercy. He's long-suffering to this village. He's long-suffering to this nation. In 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Long-suffering. Long-suffering God is. Just consider what's taking place in the nation. The government has redefined marriage. Marriage is God's institution. How long-suffering he is, that judgment has not fallen in such a terrible way on this nation. He's long-suffering. What mercy. Do not despise it. In Romans 2 verse 3 we read, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God did lead of thee to repentance? Then you hear about Christ. Do not despise the long-suffering of God. Oh, what mercy is still shining from heaven. Consider if God did not continue to show mercy to this nation, how dark it would be. It would be far worse. But he's long-suffering. But how long? There's still hope tonight. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. In closing, just consider the mercy of God again displayed through the ark. The ark was made. Young ones here tonight, you know why the ark was made. For the saving of life. And the ark is a type of Jesus. The ark of Noah points us to Jesus. For through him one is saved from the deluge of divine wrath. He faced the wrath of God so that those who believe will be saved from it. What did Jesus say in John 3 verse 36? He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Romans 5 verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Have you looked to Christ? The one who is believing is safe. I love the old illustration some of the old theologians use of a waterfall. The waterfall comes over the edge. But there's something in the waterfall that diverts the force of the water away. And Christ, as it were, was placed in the way of divine wrath, to divert the wrath of God away from those who believe. How wonderful. If you're in Christ, all is well. Just turn with me to chapter 7 and verse 16. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. All was well for Noah and his family. And if you're trusting in Jesus, all is well for you. You will not fall from grace. You will not face the wrath of God. All is well. What a blessing to be in Christ. Are you in Christ tonight? Are you safe in Christ? What a wonderful type the ark was. And note, the door was shut. It couldn't be opened. You know, I like to visit churches and chapels, and I try the door to see if the door opens. Went down to a certain place in Devon. This lovely old nonconformist chapel. It's preserved by the National Trust. And the door was open, and in I went. But sometimes you find the door shut. One day Jesus makes plain the door will be shut, and no one will be able to get in. Matthew 25. Remember the five foolish virgins? They were not ready. In verse 10 we read, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But it was too late. The door will be shut one day. But there's hope tonight. In closing, just come with me to verse 7. One more thing we'll consider here. Not verse 7, rather. One particular verse in chapter 7 where Noah is invited. Verse 1 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come now, and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Come, here's the invitation. Come in. I close with a gracious invitation. The invitation of Jesus. Come unto me, O ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Let's just go back to the beginning. The Lord's looking down. He's looking down on your soul. He knows everything about you. You've heard the invitation. Come. Have you gone to Jesus? Dear brethren, let's rejoice. We are in Christ. And all is well. The day of judgment will come. But all will be well. We will be safe in Jesus. What a blessing. What mercy has been shown to us. How many years did you not believe in Jesus? Yet now you're believing. Are you not thankful that God was long-suffering? Well, still God is long-suffering. And the Lord will not come until the last one to be saved is saved. Why has not the judgment come? Because of the mercy of God. God is long-suffering still to sinners in this nation. Oh, that they would turn. Amen. Let us pray.